Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens.
Hello.
And the man who wants to come back is a pair of his girlfriend's underwear, Ryan Preston.
All right.
You don't have to come back, you know. You had him up the whole time.
I mean, there could be some things that are worse than that.
Gotta name a couple.
Definitely.
So, you know, I think it's a very sad and pathetic thing when you are talking with a 20-something-year-old and they say that guitar player on the radio isn't doing a very good job, and you look over and say, "That's Jimi Hendrix." Now, the song that was playing wasn't one of his more well-known songs.
What was it? They only
I don't remember. It was
because they usually play "Purple Haze" all along the Watchtower.
It was one that was
the "Kiss the Sky" one.
Yeah. Anyways, but it was one that Voodoo Child.
Okay.
And
wait, what?
It wasn't Voodoo Child.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say.
But no, I was listening, and the guy goes, "Hey, man, that guitar player isn't doing a very good job." And I stop and I listen to the radio for a second. I go, "That's Jimi Hendrix. Are you telling me Jimi Hendrix is not a good guitar player?" And he goes, "Oh no, that guy's really, really good." And then he went on a little bit about it, but I'm like, how could you not recognize his guitar playing for one, and two, his voice? Now this kid is a guitar player himself, at least for 10 years.
He's probably not used to listening to actual guitar playing versus what they do nowadays.
I just think it's a really sad day.
I was going to say, is what he listens to just super overproduced and, you know, right in the pocket on the beat or something?
Yeah, but that would just made me sad.
Well, modern
music kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that is. Because modern music is one of the reasons I like have to mad respect for Dave Grohl is he actually records his stuff to tape. You know, so you got to have mad respect for that versus a guy who brings everything in the Pro Tools and just overproduces the living shit out of things.
Yeah, and you can pull back and redo a section and make it so you don't even notice that you redid a section and all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
that kind of made me sad.
That guy would have lost some credibility. It's like, wait, the moment you say Jimi Hendrix sucks, it's like, okay, go back to doing whatever you
kind of was
doing.
Like, wait a second.
He said is that he just didn't recognize it. You know what I mean? Like I don't expect every young person to know every great guitarist. You know what I mean? Or even you know top 10 that we would talk about, right? But if you're a guitar player, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't it behoove you to kind of know at least the general base of history of oh okay, you know what? Hey, these people from back then were the top of their game. From the, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, whatever it is, from the beginning of blues or something to now.
I mean, isn't he considered...
I mean, even different styles. Like, how are you unaware of Jimi Hendrix and to the point where you're able to just think out, like, oh, there's a Hendrix song that just started.
I mean, isn't he considered, like, one of the top 10? I mean, it's Jimi Hendrix.
In the world, that's what I said to the kid. It's Jimi Hendrix, Jerry Garcia, drawing blanks on the other ones right off the top of my head.
Peter Clapton.
I wouldn't even give Jerry Garcia. I give a pass if somebody doesn't know Jerry Garcia just because there's a lot of baggage that comes with being a deadhead.
Well, I guarantee you, like, I wouldn't expect him to know, like, a Jerry Garcia song over a Jimi Hendrix song.
Because I was thinking it would be Hendrix, it would be Peter Frampton, it would be...
Clapton.
Clapton's up there.
You know, I would say Slash to some degree, especially in the modern era. I would even put
David
in
Gilmore.
Okay, I'll give you that.
What?
Not a fan of Gilmore.
Are you fucking? What are you high or not high? Which one is it?
I'm not high, which probably makes it better. Not a big fan, but you know he's not my favorite guitar player, but he's talented.
The fucking objectively one of the greatest guitar players on the planet Earth.
Taste change. I can say he's good. He's not my favorite. He wouldn't be on my top 10.
I'd throw Santana in the list.
Your favorite is one thing, but I'm just saying objectively is going to make top 5 every fucking time.
Santana, you really think Santana? I don't know him
maybe
enough.
Maybe 8th. Not up in the top 5, but top 10 at least. I'd give him a top 10. I wouldn't give him top 5, but
I know some people, at least far as top 10 musicians, a lot of people put, was it Jack White, the guy from the White Stripes, would put
I
him on
there. I don't
know
if I'd put him in the top, you said top five?
Top 10 musicians?
Top 10? I've heard top 20.
I've heard a lot of old school musicians saying he's incredibly talented.
Oh, he is incredibly talented. There is no doubt about that. But I don't know if I'd lump him in with top 10, top 20 for sure.
He deserves credit for just making what was that, Seven Nation Army?
Oh.
Well, no, because it's a super catchy, and it's really hard to make a really catchy beat that's not been done. You know, dun, well, dun, dun. You know, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's kind of the interesting thing is what he has done and what he is capable of are two very different things.
And that's why I'd go with what he's done. I don't put him in the top 10. What he's capable of, he probably would easily get in the top 10, but he is definitely top 20.
I would say he would, you know, top 20. If you say it any lower, I'd be any, you know, top 30, I'd be upset because I think it's really hard to make something that's actually catchy that stays in your mind. Like Europe is a joke of a band, but Europe Final Countdown's a song that never leaves you.
Yeah.
So you got to give credit to them. I'd say same thing with the Scorpions, you know, Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Like one hit wonders. I mean, I can throw out a bunch. I mean, for one, Don McLean, I mean, one of the most notably greatest songs in the, at least the last century, or I mean, in the last decade.
No, I'll agree with you. He definitely didn't have any other popular hits, but he was around for a while.
There was two.
You know what, that you could also, if you want to say that, you could also say Creedence.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge, I love CCR, but they did a couple albums, and that's really.
Oh, yeah. But. Anyways,
11 hits. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, the albums, if you just break them down in albums, I mean, there's only maybe a couple songs in each album that they released that were really great, and then, you know, there's a few that weren't so...
Well, that's anybody.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that's anybody.
They were fucking hitting the sheen for a man. There's a dozen songs of CCR that are consistently played.
So. Yeah, I love CCR, don't get me wrong. I also love America, and America doesn't have that many great hits either. Same with Kansas.
You know, I like
America's definitely
less
CCR.
Yeah. I like CCR, but there's only so many times, like probably because the same six songs are played on the radio.
Oh yeah,
you've got Have You Seen the Rain?
Proud Mary,
Fortunate Son,
yeah, Green River.
Yeah, that's all you hear. And those songs, you know, like Fortunate Son will be my favorite song till I die. But it's like one of those things that when
Midnight Special.
I like Someday it. Never comes.
Yeah, I mean,
Midnight,
I can go
Midnight
on.
Midnight Special's a guilty pleasure.
I mean, I can go on and on about their songs, but I mean, all in all, I mean, they're a great band.
The one thing you got to give to CCNR, tonality wise, like all of their songs have a similar sound.
Yeah,
which is, I still think it's not super easy to do until you got to nu metal and everybody just started using drop D.
Yeah.
No, they all started blending in.
I've heard, you know. Sort of these legendary sorts of stories of, you know, like Lou Reed going in someplace or you know, what's that cat's name? Beach Boys.
Brian Love? No, Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson. Like these guys like going in, you know, jamming with somebody or whatever, and they're like, oh, play some shit. And they just pick up like some rando guitar. And they just, you know, they go fiddle around with the amp for a minute. And by the time they start playing, it just sounds like Lou Reed's guitar. Or it just sounds like Brian Wilson. You know, like these guys know their sound so well. They're like, oh yeah, let me just take this random fucking Fender, tune it up a little bit, change some settings. And now all of a sudden I'm Lou Reed again. You know, like.
I would be more impressed.
Yeah, I got a respect for somebody who sticks in, you know, Foo Fighters, the aforementioned Foo Fighters. Their songs sound like a Foo Fighters song, even though they're not the fucking egregious Nickelback kind of, oh, this is the same song a dozen times.
You know, I was thinking about something, and, you know, there's another guitarist that not very many people are throw out in the top 10, but I would give him top 10 easy, is Angus Young of AC/DC.
Oh, yeah.
That guy is amazing.
Yeah. I think, Chris Jericho has said a lot. He's said, I guess, a lot of musicians, because of his band Fozzy, he tours. I mean, you could say how good he is or not, but he said in one of his podcasts he was on, he said a lot of musicians consider him the greatest guitarist of all time.
Angus Young?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you watch him. I mean, that dude sweats almost more than any other guitarist I've ever seen because he has so much energy.
And now you know why he wears those shorts for the last 40 years.
He's trying his cool little schoolboy outfit.
You think at first he's cold, and then you're 20 minutes into your thing, they're set, and you're thinking, God, why does he need to take off? Oh, there goes the shirt.
I mean, if you actually watch the guy, I mean, I would put him up there with how much energy he throws out as like soccer players.
I would put him in the top four for like how much he moves, how much that there's sound. And he even says, hey, they're just a simple rock and roll band, which I give a lot of props to ACDC for not really diverting too much. Because if you take a look at bands
their lead singer, for one, like if you don't know that the lead singer changed, you wouldn't be able to tell Brian Johnson from Bon Scott.
No, not at all.
I mean, to have somebody come on like that and
that's why
really
I'm
keep
sad
the
that,
band as going as it is.
That's why I'm kind of sad. Amazing. What was the new singer's name? Brian Johnson?
Yeah, Brian Johnson. Yeah.
Brian Johnson quit because of ear hearing issues, which I'm not surprised.
I mean, yeah. But anyways, that's AC/DC is one of my top five bands.
Yeah, I love AC/DC.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people aren't that big of a fan of them. But I mean,
this is the thing I don't get. I don't understand how you cannot like AC/DC because they really are. They're a simple rock and roll band. And by the way, that's not being bad. They're a simple rock and roll band and they just rock.
Yeah. I mean, rock and roll and noise pollution. I mean, rock and roll ain't noise pollution. That's an amazing song that doesn't get much airtime.
And unlike, say, a lot of the 80s bands, AC/DC will be classic. You know, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll give you this. I think Van Halen will literally be one of the very few 80s bands that will be classic through history. I'm a bigger fan of David Lee Roth era, but I think their songs and the sound because of the guitarist, Van Halen, I forgot his first name, Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
I think they'll be classic forever.
Yeah. And actually that's one of the bands that I'm like, you know, I am a Van Halen fan, but not a lot of their songs are like even make my top 10 or 20.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
You know, I mean, the band. But I love them. But yeah, it's not one of those that I'm like, I am in a Van Halen mood. I mean, you start playing AC/DC, I'm always in an AC/DC mood.
You know,
Van Halen's always going to be classic because there's always going to be some 12-year-old that wants to learn how to play a Russian.
Oh, yeah. So, that's an amazing.
So
that's
question.
Amazing, though.
Are you David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar?
David Lee Roth.
Yeah, I'm a James. Roth.
Yeah. You know, the funniest thing is
I mean, Roth, I like Hagar, don't get me wrong, but
I've seen a lot of interviews with him in the last 5 years, and even though I think the dude is slightly off, you got to give it to the guy for at least being like true to who he is and the amount of energy. And
Sammy Hagar, you respect just for being himself. You're like, you know what, man, I talked some shit about some Van Hagar back in the day. But for one, was a little bit before kind of my era to really, really talk shit about.
Yeah.
A little before? It was before our era. It was way before yours.
Oh, man, I talk shit about stuff that happened like 200 years ago, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not that much younger than you, Charney.
Yeah, what, 3 years, I think you are? 3 years younger, Ryan?
Be 35 in a few months.
See, yeah, so about 3 years younger than us.
Sammy Hagar would be the guy you want to get a cup of coffee with and hang out at a bar. Roth is the guy you'd want to party with and never see again. But David
Lee Hagar is just a very unique individual. Like, you know, Ted Nugent.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Very singular fucking guy. Whether you agree with him or not, you know what I mean? I think, you know, there's a lot that I don't necessarily agree with the Nugent, but there's a couple of things that I do, and we can talk about those.
I got to say, though, David Lee Roth has one of my all-time favorite quotes. He says, I'm a combat hippie, peace, love, and heavy weapons. It's like...
Who was that again?
He said, David Lee Roth said, I'm a combat hippie, peace, love, and heavy weapons. Yeah. And I think he said that on Joe Rogan's podcast. And I'm like,
that just makes him a libertarian.
Or slightly crazy, depending, actually, probably a little bit both. But yeah, Sammy Hagar just seems really cool. He just seems like a guy that you could have a beer with and hang out. I don't know if I'd want to have a beer with David Lee Roth because I don't know where it would end up. Even today,
Yeah, you'd wake up like, what the hell? I'm a Girl Scout now?
Yeah. You know what, Johnny? If you got a chance to have a beer with David Lee Roth and you don't, apparently you don't like good stories.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess it really depends on, it would be like, is he in a relaxing mood to tell stories, or does he want to party like it's 1985?
just remember that it would make good pot. All right.
Be prepared for a lot of cocaine.
With my memory, I wouldn't remember shit.
Hey, I'm always prepared for a lot.
Oh, there's a good transition. So, forgetting about shit, the UK found in their parliament, they found a secret passage that was forgotten for 360 years.
So where does
it go?
Where does it go?
I didn't find out exactly where it goes, but they were saying that, you know, people were walking by it for 360 years without knowing what it was. And some people thought it was an keyhole because there was a little keyhole in there. And they thought it was an electric cabinet, and you know,
for 300 years.
Well, they recently, and so they dug around through 10,000 uncataloged documents and actually found the whole thing in there with the panel and everything in one of those documents. But yeah, I guess they apparently thought it was that it was filled up during World War II, but it wasn't. Yeah, but they're just in there finding this shit, and
I'd be like, who wants to get a torch and go on an adventure with me?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So talk about that. So a gentleman,
I mean torch like a fire fucking torch, not what Brits call fucking flashlight.
Right. A man who played the Lone Ranger's nephew on radio, wrote TV scripts, Broadway lyrics, was also a pimp in Paris. Just passed away from bladder cancer. James Lipton was 93 years old, creator and host of Inside the Actors Studio. I loved this guy.
James Lipton died?
Yep, James Lipton died. He just died.
Oh, bummer.
Wow.
Said the elegant, articulate wordsmith and theater academic whose desire to give his acting students a greater insight into the art led to the popular Bravo series Inside the Actor Studio died of bladder cancer.
Oh man.
Yeah, bummer. That guy was a pretty unique fucking character too, man.
Oh, he had an amazing story. Inside the Actor Studio was probably one of my favorite interview shows because he somehow would get stars and actors to say stuff that you would never hear anywhere else. It was pretty cool. Because anytime you hear like whoever was on his show, you know, when they're doing interviews, it's usually like the Tonight Show when they have to be smarmy and talk about their latest movie that they don't really care about. And when they're actually in the actor's studio, when it was on, they'd talk about themselves and their life story. And
One of my favorite ones is the one with Robin Williams.
Yes.
That one was one of
no kidding.
That was an amazing interview.
The one where I think the lady actually got escorted to the hospital. She laughed so much.
Oh yeah. I mean,
you can always count on him to do certain things. If not Rob Williams, James Lipton, like in as much as whoever he's interviewing, you know that he's going to go through the catalog. He's going to ask to talk to some of the characters, you know, that they've played over the years. Yeah. They're actually going to give him some space to talk about, you know, the craft and those sorts of things, even though some people think of it as hippie shit. And you're going to get to hear their favorite curse word.
Yeah, I mean, it was
And, you know, if heaven is real, you know, what would you want God to say to you kind of stuff?
It's
really interesting questions that even the actors themselves look forward to answering, you know?
Yeah, I was really sad when it got discontinued. I really hope they bring it back because there were some amazing interviews in there.
Yeah.
Well, they can't now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, no, they could. I want them to bring them back just repeats from 94.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I mean, so just like
YouTube that shit, I'm sure.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, who?
Jesus, they Charlie over here is trying to get them replaced already.
Yeah.
Really insensitive, John.
Well, that show hasn't been on for quite a while. I would love to know who you would replace them with because interview is a skill, and there's a lot of bad interviews.
I respectfully submit Sean Evans.
Yeah,
I was thinking Drew Carey.
Sean Evans would be good. As long as you stay
Sean
away.
Sean Evans, the hot ones guy.
He's good.
Fucking amazing.
Because he's chill. I like him. Like I don't like any of the Tonight Show type of guys. Like, just I don't like their style. I liked the one thing I got to give Jay Leno. The one thing I got to give Jay Leno is I thought he was a really good interviewer because he was just. I think he had a good sense of humor, and I think that helped. I think Jimmy Kimmel, Kimmel, whoever does it now. Conan, I've never liked.
Who?
Seth Meyers.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of new people that I really dig.
And well, the problem with those things is you're getting whittled down. You're taking 10 minutes and whittling it to three. You're getting the pre-interview stuff where they already know what they're going to ask. So very, very few late-night people have ever done anything different than a few days before the producer calls the guy and says, okay, what do you want to talk about? You got any good stories? And so they know what to ask. They know what to see up. Oh, hey, Mark Wahlberg, how was your summer? Because we know something crazy happened on your summer vacation, you know?
And I think, you know, we all grew up in the dying days of the late night when the king of late night, Johnny Carson, was on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if you think of when Johnny Carson was on, the people who were against him too. And I think that's the problem is, for me, I compare everything to Carson. And nobody has his sense of timing, his sense of humor, how understated he was in that.
Yeah. Well, so even when Leno took over, my late night watching of those shows was Letterman for his top 10 and then switch over to Leno.
Yeah.
That's all I did. And I mean, that always depended on who was on with the, you know, Tonight Show versus if I'm going to watch, you know, till he does the top 10. And then always on the weekends, it was Mad TV and maybe SNL if Mad TV sucked, which was very, 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 very rare.
I hated SNL. I still don't like it.
It's
always been hit and miss.
But that's why I didn't really know about Mad TV and Will Ferrell was because I was on Mad TV.
Mad TV and In Living Color.
I was going to say In Living Color as well.
So, yeah. Okay, so two topics. Do you want one incredibly controversial or one not?
Let's go kind of controversial.
Well, obviously controversial.
So I can punch Ryan.
So high school athlete sues to keep biological males out of girls' sports. So what is happening is you have trans women who are competing in sports, athletics, weightlifting competitions. And a lot of these girls, these women are getting upset is because genetically, because of bone structure and other stuff, they're saying it's unfair that these people who are now women, who are genetically male, can compete in sports. And now there's lawsuits that are...
there's the guy that went into the MMA?
Fallon Fox.
Thank you. I knew it was Fox something, but I couldn't remember the first part.
So here's the question, and try to do this as reasonably discussion as we can. Do you think it's fair, and do you think there should be a time limit? Like, I've heard some people talk about, okay, they should be on hormones for a certain length of time before they compete, because their muscle mass will be to a biological female, because when you take estrogen, it actually decreases your ability, your muscle strength. Like, I've heard stories that a guy who was a muscle builder within 6 months can't open a jar of pickles by himself. But you still have the issue with the...
bone density and muscle mass.
Well, the bone density specifically and the connectors, the tendons and stuff. So what do you think? And I'll start with James.
I don't know if it should be a full-fledged, well, I guess if you look at it, it has to be a blanket solution. So it can't be something case by case. And so
now would you be in favor for
keeping them out or letting them in?
Yeah. Like what would be your barrier to entry? Cause
As far as I'm concerned, I would be more leaning towards keeping them out. Because, I don't know, it's one of those where it's like you have women who are like, oh, I want to be treated like an equal of man. So I'm kind of like, all right, well, then you have to be held to the male standards. I guess you really can't do that when they go transgender because, I mean, if you're holding them to...
But there,
know, that's a really tough
but
one.
But there are things that do change, and I've done an ungodly amount of reading about this. Is it does change the muscle density does change. You do actually lose muscle.
Okay, how about this? Transition is over, then you can be allowed. Not during.
No, what question is, what's your definition of transition then? Because not
you're fully recognized as a female.
The thing is out. our definition might not be sufficient. I mean, to me, it would almost have to be like a scientific, the Olympics. They're doing it within like certain levels of hormones. Here's the thing is we are talking about a significantly small number of people.
Yeah.
So I think it actually is a small enough amount of people that you could case by case of this.
Yeah,
you know
but
I mean? It's
but
not
I'm,
like every cool school has 15 or 20 transgender kids.
That's a good point.
You know, it'd be interesting if a school had one. You know, statistically interesting, not like, hey, look at that person.
So there's a couple of things I wanted to bring up as far as what James has said. Now, would you be, the definition of transition depends on the actual person themselves. Some people, it's when you're just female for full time, and that really depends on when the people feel comfortable to be female. In order to legally do bottom surgery, you have to be female for a year in most places.
Okay, but what...
So I guess my question is, you talk about like hormones or...
I would say that. I would say, a certain, as Ryan said, the Olympics are a certain level of hormones. So if you're...
Like average, we'll say like an average adult.
If you are still on high hormones because you're trying to reach a certain stage, you know, in the transition period, then I would say you're not allowed in.
Okay, so basically...
Until you are to a point where your hormones have stabilized and you're in there in a certain amount of the transition, then you can be allowed. Like Ryan said, you know, there's hormone levels that you can and cannot compete with.
So according to Wikipedia, the bastion of all knowledge,
The bastards
six,
of all knowledge?
0.6%, a different 0.6% is considered, identify as transgendered. So that's 0.6% of
the hormones
of all Americans consider themselves transgendered. Oh. So it's 6% of the total population.
Huh.
0.6. So that's,
I guess,
yeah. And how many of them are actually thinking of transgender, and how many of those are athletes? You know what I'm saying? Like 0.6% of the U.S. population considers themselves transgender. Self-reporting group for one, shave some numbers off of that. And also, how many of those people are athletes in some capacity to need this as an option? You know, this is a very, so I don't know if there would need to be a blanket thing. I don't know if it's as easy as having a blanket answer. You know,
I think you could fairly.
I think we have enough resources to case by case this. But how long have you been, you know, one gender to the next? You know, comes to for real. It's safety. You know, this is a subject that the aforementioned Joe Rogan talked about 1,000 times, mostly in the context of combat sports. But I mean, that's what bothers me is. I live in Los Angeles. I've known the odd feminists on occasion. One of the things that's kind of irritating, which is, you know, like something you're not allowed to bring up because you can get your social justice warrior card revoked, is the fact that, men can do everything better than you, even being a woman.
Yep.
Like, we're even better at that now. You know what I mean? Like that's how it looks to a lot of feminists who were like, hey, no, look, we fought a long time for these rights, and I would never, ever say that this needs to be legislated, you know, against, you know, or for transgender people. I think the government stayed flat the fuck out of this one. But, you know, it is complicated when you're talking about safety. It's one thing when you're talking about just, hey, this record might be broken, you know, and never be broken again because, you know, this is beyond what, you know, look, men and women definitely equal as far as how people should be treated. That's what it comes down to. But I'm not one of those people that says there are no differences between men and women.
So you're saying there's some genetic differences. So you're saying is there's some genetic absolutely. Differences in male and female that makes a CIS male stronger than a CIS woman?
Well, generally speaking, obviously there's a spectrum when it comes to men or women or humans in general.
It's stereotypically. And when you talk about this discussion like this, a lot of it's in stereotypes.
By and large, you know, the normal bone density and muscle density of a male is going to be more than that of a female. And the records for any sport will basically bear that out. you know, there's a reason there's different categories.
Yeah, there's a reason there's a WNBA and a NBA.
So say,
right, and it's not just because of height. You know what I mean? We're talking shot putting, any kind of track and field. You know, it's not like women are lighter, but they can run faster. Like there's any athletic endeavor, males are going to have a genetic edge.
Okay, I don't know, so that women's soccer team.
Males, you know,
that women's soccer team a couple years ago. I kind of wish that they were on the male side because they kicked ass.
So let's just say for some reason we were appointed the head of athletics in America, and we had to make the choice of how it's handled from now on. What would you do? I actually kind of think, for fair, and by the way, what's fair is usually when both parties disagree, in my opinion, is...
Can I instate lynching?
No.
Damn.
Because lynching is wrong.
No, it's not.
I think...
Can we bring back prima nocta? Wait, that's different thing. Different thing. Sorry.
Fuck.
Hold on, let me Google that.
Oh God.
So I think I kind of think the best way to do it, and fair of both parties, is I think you'd have to wait until I think a year or until, and this is the thing I don't know, and I've done reading on it, and I this is the part I don't understand. Is there a time period when the hormones balance out? Because you can't really, hormones don't work when you, like if you say, estrogen generally doesn't work this. Testosterone, I'm not sure about that. If you give a genetic male who's transitioning, you give him a bunch of estrogen, it's actually dangerous. And I'm assuming testosterone's the same way. So you got to build up. So I guess the question is, what would the time period? I think you might be able to fairly say a year if they're, you know, their levels have to be I'd say, okay, levels have to be to whatever a CIS female is or whatever good for them for a certain time period.
Well, that's the problem. That's why I said, are we looking for a blanket solution or a case by case?
I think it would be
because if we're going to do it that way, then it has to be case by case.
Well, see, I think you would do it that way because I think that's what's fair. I think that's fair for everybody. It's on like both
11
parties.
People. You know what I mean?
It's hey.
Well, yeah, but
I'm
no,
lazy.
Yeah, but see, we were just voted in to be the people who dictate how this happens. So, I think case by case.
Jesus Christ, who the hell's voting?
Yeah, I've got enough time in my day to see every transgender person if I'm in charge of this.
Well, you know, eventually you will.
You know, or at the very least, every transgender athlete, I definitely have time to handle see, this those is what, phone calls.
And I'm saying for athletics or just athletics in general, I think there's got to be a compromise that makes everybody happy, and then by that means nobody's happy. Therefore, it's actually a decent compromise.
Well, that's the thing is that I think there's so few people that this affects, you know, the transgender people or the people that they're on the team with or against or things like that. It's going to be a very small number of the net effect is nowhere near the amount of times I've heard about it.
Yeah, but it is an amazing the amount of hate they get. I mean,
well, you know, because everyone's got an opinion about it. It's a controversial thing, you know.
Yeah, but
it's one of those, you've never even met one of these people, so.
Well, that's one of the things.
You know, how valid are most of our opinions? I don't know the breakdown of the science.
See, but that's what I'm thinking. It's like if the transgender person does well in these sports, then it's, oh, it's because he's, you know, they were born a man. Or, you know, something like that along those lines, because that could be what it is. And that's why I'm saying we need to take it more. And I guess Ryan has a really good point. Case by case, you know, that's instead of coming with a blanket effect. But that's why I'm saying it's like it's such, I don't want to say such a strange subject, but for growing up in the eras that we did, it is kind of a strange subject to really bring up. So, I mean, that's like with the, it was a Fallon Fox, like, didn't she win a couple fights and everybody's like, oh, it's because.
Well, she beat the living crap out of one girl. I think sent her to the hospital for a cracked skull.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's because you kind of think like, oh, that happened just because, you know, it's transgender. And that could be very well be the case. That's why I said, you know, put him up against, you know, Cyborg. That will actually be an interesting fight.
I am super curious, and this is something that I've read a little bit about, at least I've seen, is what is the change in bone density over time? Now, I've heard, now, so the way usually bones, when you're a certain age, after you hit like peak of puberty, your bone caps, actually your body physically cannot grow anymore. Your bones don't change. So if you're under a certain age, when you do hormones, your physical structure change. Like under 20, like under 25, you're male who become women, their hips grow. I have heard stories and read stories that even older people who transition, bone changes still happen. So my question is, where does the science, and this is so new, at least that it's been accepted, that I don't think there's any evidence of what happens. And that's why I think that what we said is the best way to do is find
case by case.
Case by case is the best way to do it.
Go with the hormone.
Because I think if the Olympics,
hormone levels in them,
I think if the Olympics does it, I think it's fair to say, okay, this has to have been, I mean, it's not FIFA, so this is should hopefully have been thought out well enough.
Yeah, it's one of those I'm like,
Oh, by the way, if any of you are out there and actually want to have this discussion, you know, go to our Facebook page. There's multiple ways to contact us. What is your opinion? Because this is literally just us talking. We're kind of curious what you think.
And we do encourage lynching of Ryan.
No, I need him as a co-host.
I didn't say kill him.
So lynch him until he's
survive it.
Lynch him until he's not dead.
Yeah.
I always thought that was I always thought that was redundant. Hanging by the neck until dead. Apparently, you can hang till the neck till alive.
Well, it depends on if they drop you.
Yeah,
properly.
And always a bit inaccurate. You know, they always said that, but the idea was to drop them hard enough to break their neck.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not like we're just going to lift you off the ground with a rope and lay.
And if any of you are curious out there, the Brits are the ones who really came up with a fantastic system of how long the rope should be for a person's height and weight. They have a system.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, James,
is really interesting.
That was officially the worst transition in history, and probably the most offensive transition in history of the Mad Trio show.
What?
Go from talking about a very hard issue like transgender to lynching. I mean, I think you are.
How to lynch properly?
So, ladies and gentlemen, we here at the Mad Trio show and the Old Guy Tech TV have nothing to do with what James just said. So that's our disclaimer.
I think they should know that by now.
That was
the views expressed by James Stevens are not necessarily the opinions representing Old Guy Tech TV.
Holy shit, that was a rough transition. Because there were three in this article. It's this article I found. It's out of activistmommy.com, so it's a blog, not an actual news source. But apparently in this article, there were three female athletes who filed a federal lawsuit about it. I'm curious what happens.
I'm curious what they want out of the lawsuit.
I'm assuming to ban transgendered women from...
asking for compensation or some shit.
I didn't read too far in the article just because, you know, I wanted to find the actual news source and I didn't find it. No. But this is something
so
I've seen.
I did the math. Out of 350 approximately million people in the country, 0.6% would be about 21 million. 21 million is enough for a lot to happen.
Yeah,
you know, that is a lot of people, and that's enough for there to be, you know, quite a few athletes and things like that. You know, especially people in their youth tend to be, you know, athletes just for school purposes. You know, looks good on applications, or they're, you know, into something at that kind of prime of their life. So I mean, you know, it is worth having the conversation about. It's one of those that I'm. Would admit all day I don't know enough about either side of the discussion to feel like I have an informed opinion on it.
I know enough from reading because I've literally done an insane amount of reading about this. It's super nuanced, obviously, because you have people in it. It becomes nuanced. I don't know, and I mean this sincerely, if there's a healthy way to do this, and healthy, I mean, as far as having a conversation, because it's such a polarizing conversation. Because you're trying to make, you're trying to make sense out of a very messy situation, and what I mean by that, as far as you have people, it's messy. So I don't know how you do that, and I really don't. And I do know statistically, there's an awful lot of transgendered ladies and men and LGBTQ people that get persecuted and hung. Too, which is something I think you have to put out there, is how do you balance all this and make everybody happy or nobody happy? Like I said, this is And it's amazing how much flame wars happen on Twitter about this. And that's why it fascinates me. I mean, I understand why
flame wars.
Yeah, I mean, there's like
trolls. Is this an actual term?
Flaming, yeah. They're like, you know, say somebody will say something.
Like flaming Moes or flaming like.
I'd rather have a flaming Moe. Basically, there's people
saying. I prefer the term dumpster fire.
Yes. Like, you know, somebody will have.
That makes more sense.
Somebody will say something, and obviously you have a bunch of people pro or against just pile on it. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I personally, you know, live and let live. I mean, whether you agree or disagree with it. And by the way, I actually do think people can agree or disagree with it. I think you need to leave people the fuck alone. I mean, let people make their own choices. As long as they're not violating. So this is what I'm going to do. My Sergeant Friday speech is as long as they're not violating your rights, you need to fuck off.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So switching topics entirely, actually, I wanted to ask you guys something just out of curiosity.
Okay.
I think I brought it up a while back. It's an absolute non sequitur, by the way. and flat all the way. Fucking heels. Remember that I brought up a few months back or I don't know, a year or so ago that show on History Channel called Alone?
Where yes.
They just drop like 10 assholes in the middle of fucking nowhere and leave them with a bunch of cans of beer and say, okay,
still never watched one it.
Out, gets $500,000.
Yeah.
It's a incredibly fascinating show. I definitely recommend it. If anybody ever got into those survivalist sort of shows, this is the most legit one aside from Survivor Man. But where the guy just goes out for a week wherever he is.
I don't want to watch somebody drink elephant shit. That was enough for me.
Well, that's
drink elephant shit.
That Bear Grylls, you know, everything is super fucking produced within an inch of its life. This one is just there's 10 people. They're all doing their own filming. I do not envy the editor's position of having to go through hundreds of hours of footage
of people trying not to lose their mind
to a story.
You know who I really don't envy? The people who edits Naked and Afraid. That's got to be the worst show to edit of all time. Never mind the hours.
Yeah, it's all nice on the first day when everyone's all nice and clean and everything. But, you know, after like 30 days of looking at somebody's dirty asshole, yeah, that'd bum my shit out.
I would rather go through the thousands of bad, shaky camera footage than have to edit that show.
Yeah. So, check this out. The newest season, which was out a few months back.
Of Alone?
Yeah.
Alone, yeah. They went to they've gone to different places, mostly Vancouver Island up in BC. Then they went to Mongolia for a season, and this one is the Arctic. So,
oh god,
you know, however many miles just south of the actual like Arctic Circle, like where it's just where the actual tree line is, where trees don't grow anymore, kind of thing. They're kind of just south of that.
And people volunteer for this shit. No, thank you. Get $1 million or freeze to death.
Well, you know, here's the thing: is you got all the necessary safety gear. There's a base amount of gear that they give you. Here's your winter clothing, you know, big parkas, stuff like that, and first aid kit, emergency calling, you know, stuff where hey, you hit this button and tap out, and we'll come and get you. Their GPS track, and throughout the time that they're there, they've got periodic medical checks that'll come through and make sure that, you know, they're not losing too much weight. Their body's not just fucking eating their internal organs because they can get medically pulled off the show. But beyond that, they don't even necessarily talk to them when they're there. They just kind of show up. They take a couple of measurements. And if they're not pulling them off, they just leave, you know. So beyond that stuff that they give you, you get to pick 10 items, you know, off sort of a pre-designated list. You know, stuff like, do you want a bow and arrow or fishing line with hooks, trapping wire,
dynamite,
gill net, you know, saw, axe, knives, that sort of stuff.
I want dynamite.
And you just kind of pick your, I know, that'd be my thing. Like, can I take some saltpeter? And but, so.
Give me a couple hundred yards
I've
of cordite.
I thought, through all of these seasons, okay, hey, that'd be cool to do this. Obviously, I'm in nowhere near the amount of skill set or shape to pull something like that off. But I'm a fan of the thought experiment, nonetheless.
I think you'd have a better chance of becoming Neil Peart's replacement, honestly.
Yeah, But I've often thought, like, what would my goals be? Like, what would my expectations be? My loftiest, you know, I thought, like, oh, it'd be great to be the guy that fucking, you know, hunts a bear and fucking puts the skin on my head when they show up. I'm, like, wearing a bear. I just go flat out fucking feral. They come to get me. They can't find me. I'm in a tree somewhere.
He's in a bear shit.
My biggest goal would not to die. That would be it. It's like, there's, see, what's your goal? Not to die.
That's really what it comes down to. It's like, okay, I would get there and I would need to find water and make a fire, and because it's going to be cold as shit. Beyond that, hopefully I you know, trap a little animal, you know, making these little traps and things like that. So there's this fucking guy. On this particular season, more people showed up with a bow and arrow than any previous seasons. I'd say 6 out of the 10 actually brought a bow.
Oh, wow.
Now, they don't allow compound bows. They only have wooden recurves, or wooden longbows, but nobody picks a fucking longbow. wooden only, and no barbed broadheads, but you can take broadheads.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at the idea of somebody bringing an old English 100-pound longbow. Here, you can have this, but nobody in this century is going to be able to pull it.
Yeah, exactly. So this one cat decides that he wants to like funnel effectively the bears into his camp so he can fight them.
Did he die?
It was the most insane thing I've ever fucking heard one of these guys say. It's like, now if I put this here and I kind of block this area off, and then I can get the little early warning from the bear coming to my camp right here, and then I can have a chance to shoot at him. Like, this guy was talking about a 20-foot shot from his camp, you know, to where he planned on taking down a fucking bear. And he's like, yeah, then you just get to stab it until there's no movement. I'm like, bro, you are out of your fucking mind.
Did they stop him?
No, there's nobody there to stop him.
Yeah. So did they don't see the footage until after.
Did he live? Like, what happened?
Yeah. Well, he ends up actually trying to set up some stuff, and he ends up breaking his leg and has to call out.
God.
But meanwhile, there's this other guy named Jordan, and he's just kind of this, I guess he's like my age, you know, 30, 34, 35, somewhere in there. Just this kind of nice, sort of quiet, almost kind of has like a hippie sort of West Coast accent, if you will. That nice guy. And on day, maybe 20, something like that, this fucking guy, recurve bow, kills a fucking moose.
Oh, wow.
Good shot.
Like, just amazing fucking stock and spot and stock on a fucking moose with a recurve. And I think I looked it up. It was like a 50-pound pole recurve bow. You know, your minimum sort of ethical hunting pole is going to be a minimum 35. And I don't know anybody who's using a 35-pound pole on a bow. That's a real fucking light.
Reminds me of the show where the guy tried, they were going hunting for elephants in Africa, and they were like, oh, we're going to use this bow. And somebody said, yeah, no, we're not.
Yeah, don't do that. That's mean. But gets a good lung shot on this moose, stalks him, waits him out, you know, for I think a good 6 hours, and quarters him and pulls him back to camp. So already this guy, to me, earns the fucking hillbilly fucking Hall of Fame. You go out to a survival show and you drop a moose, you know, easily probably 200-300 pounds of meat he's pulled off of this thing. One of which was about a gallon worth of kidney fat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hopefully he kept the blood, too.
So, that wouldn't keep as long as he would need it to.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as you can kind of smoke cure your meat, let it last a little bit, and then, you know, have it stocked up. I mean, it's so fucking cold that you're effectively just
freezing
temperature in a freezer.
Well, you're cold smoking. You know,
smoking it and then storing it, you know, freezing style. So he puts this up on a big platform, builds this big platform to get it up off the ground. And one night, some wolverines come and jack him for that whole gallon of fucking fat.
Oh, wow.
That sucks.
Shortly thereafter, he's told that he's basically starving no matter how much he's getting what's called, I think, protein sickness or protein poisoning, where you're eating a shit ton of protein, but you're not getting any fat to go with it. So your body is still burning your muscle. You know, it doesn't have any fat to work off. So he sets up a little early warning device for his fucking platform of meat. Here's a Wolverine in the middle of the night, runs out in the pitch dark with a fucking bow, shoots it, pins it to the ground, and then runs out there and hatchet kills a fucking Wolverine.
Wow.
Huh.
Like, no matter what I ever thought my goals might be, or in my little thought experiment of, oh, this is what I would kind of be thinking of or wanting to accomplish, this fucking bad motherfucker goes out there and hatchet kills a Wolverine that was stealing his food.
That's impressive.
This is why my goal would be to survive. And this is why I wouldn't do shit like that. Cause that's, I couldn't top that. I'd be the guy in day two going, help.
Yeah. It wouldn't even occur to me to try. I'd be thinking like, man, I'd be lucky to get a couple of rabbits, you know, hunting, or maybe some squirrels up in some trees, but hopefully some birds, you know, depending on what's around. I guess they got like some ptarmigan in the area, which is, you know, good quail size sorts of birds, you know?
And the question, do they frisk you when you land? Can you, like, you know, I don't know, keep gunpowder?
Oh, you are very well kitted up by them on site. You know, they're checking out all of your items.
I wonder
if all of your clothing that you're going there is provided by them, so they know what you got on you.
Unless you purse something.
Unless you prison wallet something, which I might consider.
Because that would be my thought. It was like, it's just like, okay, I'm going to sneak some fucking gunpowder.
Hey, you know what? Debt cord is real fucking stable. That's all I'm saying. I'd be perfectly fine with you know, maybe a coil or two up my ass. You can feed it up there. It wouldn't even be that uncomfortable.
Okay, this is more into that thought that you really have thought about this more than what is.
But here's the thing. You got to get the detonators. You have to have some kind of fucking of an electrical, you know.
Can you imagine shoving a freaking electrical thing in your little pouch, your prison pouch, Ryan? You think you'd get a D battery up there, Ryan?
I could see it every time he hiccups, he shocks his ass. Producer's like, are you okay? Yeah, fine.
Oh, God. Man.
Oh, God. That's
Yeah, there really wouldn't be much that would be worth, you know, shoving in a prison wallet.
So,
smuggle out there.
It reminds me of the scene. You've seen the movie Running Man, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
Towards the end of the movie, when they're going to the theater, there's that Cuban woman, and she brings out that, like, mini Uzi, and Schwarzenegger goes, "Where did you hide that?" That's what that conversation just mentally brought to me. It's like, that's the most funny and horrifying thought ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, they made some pretty fucking tiny little zip guns, you know, but none of them would be practical as far as like, oh, this is going to give me an edge on what I'm trying to do here. You know, you get some little zip gun that happened to fit, you know, in your app, or even just, you know, between your cheeks, and no one's that curious about checking, you know, kind of deal.
Oh, God.
But it wouldn't be you know, whatever sights you would have on that is not going to get you out to longer range than you could with a bow.
Now,
you know, it would just behoove you to get the bow in your backyard and do a little practice.
Now I can see it. The next guy and or woman, the next woman who goes on the show, not only does she have to see a gynecologist, but a proctologist and the guy's getting an endoscope just to make sure. I could see it now. It's the most hardcore show ever. Ryan Preston snuck 445 bullets up his backside. So now everybody's getting frisked and physically violated.
At the very least, we're going to want you.
And it also found that Joe Smith has 6 polyps and 1 is cancerous. So we've actually saved his life. And Marlene is pregnant.
Yeah, but I was real interested on how this guy all of a sudden had solved his food problem for presumably at least a few months, depending on how well that meat kept, how well it was stored
if you smoked it right away, even with cold smoke, it would be fine.
We'll be fine for a while, but at a certain point, you know, you're going to have to worry about something. Obviously, the ambient temperature is one thing, but regardless, his whole demeanor switched from get food to keep food. You know, all of a sudden, you're the guy who's got to defend it from everything else around. Yeah, dude, I mean, like, how much do you set food when you're like, yeah, no, I'll go fight a wolverine right now.
I'm hoping
it's better than a honey badger.
If I was him, I'd be...
Dude, I mean, that's the thing. To me, it's 6-1, half dozen of the other, man. Go look up a fucking wolverine versus honey badger in size. That's basically the same animal.
Oh, I know, so, but do you think honey badgers are pretty damn fucking smart and mean.
I hope he was quoting Sabretooth from Marvel the whole time.
So when he shoots it, you should look up the video. It's fucking fantastic. He shoots it with a bow, and you can hear him say, "Oh fuck, I pinned it to the ground." And he runs back and grabs his hatchet, and then just runs back out into the darkness. The sound this thing is making when he gets close is murderous.
You just helped me because when your description of it before I learned he was pinned to the ground, I'm thinking he's in some like running knife battle, like some sort of sword battle in First Night. No, he pinned the fucker to the ground, and he's just like, "Die, motherfucker!"
See, no, that was a mercy killing at that point.
Yeah, out there and just goes fucking hard on it. Yeah.
No, it was a wolverine. He wanted the fucking thing to die. This wasn't a mercy killing. It was like fucking die.
No, I'm saying after you pin it to the ground, I mean, it's dying anyway. So you don't want to prolong death of it.
There's a good depending on how good
or it's he would have walked.
So like, depending how good it was pinned to the ground, there's still a chance it's going to free itself and kill your ass. So let's not pretend it wasn't self-preservation here.
Honestly, to me, the more impressive is the 30-yard fucking recurve lung shot on a moose. I mean, obviously, it's a big target, but still.
Yeah, that's...
You know, that you got to be pretty confident, you know, to take that shot. Most hunters, if they're not confident in their bow skills, aren't gonna take that shot, you know. I've done archery for a little bit with recurves. I've never fired a compound bow, shamefully enough. Huh. But it is not an easy fucking endeavor. You know, all of us have shot for a long time, you know, pistols and rifles. And we know what it takes to be good at that. And, you know, archery is no fucking different, but it is different in the sense you're using different muscle groups and different memory.
I've shot a longbow, I've shot recurve, and I've shot compound. The thing about a compound bow, I mean, once you pull it and you get to a certain point, it's a weird releases. Feeling.
Yeah.
Because
releases all that tension.
Yeah, it just goes whoop, and you're like, "What the?" The first time it's a trip.
Do you ever size ever?
And then
see
you can
the...
hold it there, and you got your mechanical trigger. You can hold it as long as you want. Settle up, you know, get your sight picture, get your anchor points.
It's
with
weird.
A recurve bow. By the time you pull that thing back, you really want to let it go. It's not something you can hold back there. Robin Hood taking a long shot, you know?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to sit in there staring at a flag or the trees trying to figure out when. No. So did you're
guys,
not doing that.
Did you guys ever see, have you any of you guys seen The Hunger Games?
Yes. Sure.
So one of the movie posters of The Hunger Games, or maybe it was a clip, it was something, it made me laugh. So Katniss has the bow pulled with two fingers, but her nose is in front of it.
Yeah, that's
well.
Hurt.
It's not okay. Here's the thing: is her technique in that was pretty fucking on point. Some people will pull their fucking nose up a little bit just so they can feel the string brush past it when they release.
Or if you look at the way they stationed the camera, it looks like the string would actually go through her.
Might just be an angle because she actually got really fucking good with that bow.
I have no doubt, but that's still one because it's easier to get. It's easier to look more accurate with a bow than it is with a firearm.
Well, for example, for me, my anchor point, an anchor point for anybody who doesn't know, is when you pull a bowstring back, there's different theories or techniques, you know, where your fingers are above or below the arrows. But in any case, you want to bring the string back to the same point every time. So people have different, you know, little points that they're touching on their face, or they're feeling the feather on a particular part of their lip, they're feeling their thumb on their ear, something like that. I have, when I pull back, I can't, there's nothing solid for me to hit. So I actually kind of have to turn my head in just a little bit and I can hit my ear, and I know with my thumb where my ear is, and that's the same point every time. But I've got to kind of give this odd angle to my head while still kind of keeping my sight picture. But
I did.
You know, some guys will move right to the corner of their mouth, you know, and my pull back a little bit longer. I'm almost behind my ear where I pull.
We are pretty much almost out of time. I did hear something recently I thought was interesting. They are thinking, I heard this, I didn't actually read this, but they're thinking that instead of people having a lot of, like, you know, a bunch of arrows in the quiver, you know, they'd shoot an arrow, grab an arrow. They're thinking what they, a lot of the time they did is they actually put arrows in their hands, their fingers. And so what they did is they grabbed an arrow, fired it, brought the next one to aim, grabbing it with the other hand and shooting it that way.
Huh.
Instead of, like, they were staging arrows that, instead of just going to the quiver every time.
There was that guy, Lars Anderson, did some YouTube videos, controversial, albeit, you know, because he's doing stuff like, I can catch arrows in flight and then shoot it back to you. And here's the thing is, he's amazing. I don't care how fucking heavy that pole is, because what I can tell is that pole on his bow might be about 25 pounds, only because how fast those arrows are coming off are not. If most people were firing an arrow past you, I don't care how quick your reflexes are, you're not catching that shit.
Yeah, you're not doing that with a 50-pound bow. It's fucking, I just don't see it.
No, it's going to pull the skin off your hand even if you get your hand on it. You know, you're not going to be able to grip fast enough,
yeah,
you know, to grab it. In any case, though, regardless of that, how fast this guy can knock and pull an arrow back is remarkable.
Was he grabbing it from his quiver or was he staging it? Because the staging it, was that's no, the first time
so
I've ever heard that.
He was staging up. And there was two different ways. So you got your left hand, if you're right-handed, you have your left hand on your bow, on your grip. And he can hold arrows in that left hand to where all he does is reach over in front and pull it down 90 degrees to where it can knock.
That's pretty much what I was trying to say, yeah.
Then there's another technique where he had where he's holding three extra arrows between his fingers on his right hand, on his draw hand.
Whoa.
So then he fires and then just brings one up, you know, kind of a from down low swing up 90 degrees and knock immediately. And he can rapid fire some shit pretty good. Again, light pull on that bow, but the technique is still there, you know. So I'd love to see him do it with a good, you know, heavy pull and see how many he can rack off in 30 seconds. Oh. But yeah, look up Lars Anderson on YouTube. I think it's called the next level of archery or a different level of archery. They're really, really entertaining.
I forgot what the show is, and I really wish I met it because the guy, was it Bean? The guy who was in Lord of the Rings, he always dies a lot.
Sean Bean.
He was in a British TV show, and at the moment the name escapes me, but there's a way he actually loads a brown bass instead of using a ramrod. It's been shown on YouTube. Basically, you know, you take the paper cartridge, rip it off, pour some black powder on there, pour some in the pan, take the bullet in your mouth, spit it down the barrel, and stamp it, and then shoot. And in this TV show, he goes from shooting so many rounds every three minutes to a round every 2 minutes.
Huh.
If I can remember what the show's called, I'll send you guys a text about it, because it was the first time I've ever seen that. Plus the fact the show seems really awesome.
So wait, what step was he doing different?
So he was skipping the ramrod, because what you're supposed to do is you pour the powder down. You pour, was it the patch, the powder, and the ball? And then what you do is you take the ramrod, shove it all the way down to the back, lift it up, prime it. You pull the you prime the
so
pan, pull
not,
the trigger.
Was he not using the wadding?
Yeah, he was no wadding and no ramrod. Basically, what he was doing, he was tapping
so
the bullet down the bore.
He just never fucking let his barrel go below the horizontal.
Yeah, his joke was, you know, his joke in the movie was actually don't point it down because the ball will roll up, but the guy on the horse is always above you.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. If you're not shooting anywhere down and you're, let's say, like on the lines or something like that, and you know your angle of firing, yeah, you never have to bring that thing below, you know, a flat 90 degrees.
Yeah, it was the first.
Yeah, that would definitely save you a shit ton of time. Just getting the rod out of those fucking things is a pain in the ass.
Hold on,
pain in the ass in as much as it takes time.
God, I wish I remember what the show was. Oh, it's Sharp.
Huh. All right.
There's a bunch of clips on YouTube. I have never actually found the series to watch it. If you're out there and you happen to know where to watch it, let me know, because I'm super interested in seeing it.
But my fucking golden light is to shoot a fucking flintlock brown bass.
Well, you can't shoot mine because it'll kill you.
No, you actually have one?
Yeah. Uh-huh, I do, but it's an original.
Okay, so yeah, not in good working condition.
Yeah, at this point, if you shot it, it would be a self-harming weapon. It would not harm anybody but yourself.
You have a pipe bomb.
It's yeah, shape yeah. Around
it'd be like, basically.
How did John die? Oh, he shot a 400-year-old rifle. Exploded, didn't it? Yeah. That's pretty much what it would be. I mean, I'm literally shooting on one end. Was it? It's a pipe bomb with one end open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you put that bullet down there.
Pretty much.
And see, here's the thing: is the actual bucket list. I need to be able to shoot it twice because I want to shoot it and then reload just to see how quick I can get that second shot off.
You can buy reproductions of them. I've seen kits. I don't know how much they are. Like, one of the things I want to get a piece like the Peacemaker. I think it's the one that has the cap and ball.
The Navy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love a good old school. Yeah, see, I'd want the conversion, though. Give me the fucking,
no, I'm on
the
fucking
cap and ball.
I want the cap and ball.
I can dig the cartridge, you know?
Nah, because for me, the cap and ball would be fun. But with,
you know, it really would save you a lot on ammunition as far as, you're not going to be able to let enough rounds off to really break the bank.
You got a point.
Yeah, it would be fun. And plus the fact you're like touching like the Wild West. What was it? Buffalo. Is it Buffalo Bill who died in Deadwood?
Wild Bill.
Yeah, Wild Bill. I think that's what he carried. And I think it'd be fun just to be able to actually see how the history part of it. By the way, if y'all want to read anybody super interesting in history, read about John Wesley Harding. He was the real deal.
Yeah.
There's a story.
One shot a man for snoring.
Hey, if you're going to shoot a man, I'm glad my wife has never done that. So there is a story about John Wesley Harding when he turned basically a good guy towards part of his life. And there was a sheriff and him. And the story was some bad guy pulled his gun. John Wesley Harding had pulled his firearm, shot it by the time the sheriff had got his hand on the gun and started pulling it out. He was that fast.
Yeah.
And John Wesley, he did write a book. He was a lawyer later on in his life. Everybody says that it's kind of a puff piece. But hey, if you write your own book, you can write your own puff piece.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he was notoriously kind of a piece of shit.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California pariah, for the fat man, and for Ryan's questionable taste on what to be resurrected as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.